Ready, down, put, 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 put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always great to get the insight from our friend and teammate Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Just trying to beat the garbage and recycling trucks.
Get them.
Oh, cans out to the corner?
Yeah, out to the bins. And I have this, look, I have issues. I know I have issues. But like when Tuesday comes, I always want us to be completely garbage and recyclable free by the time that after the garbage truck and the recycling truck come. So, like, I don't want any leftover garbage or trash in our house.
Exact same way.
So, like, for example, like last night, I mean, Mark, our garbage day isn't today. It's later this week. But last night, like, as I was cleaning up after dinner, I had to put a new bag in the garbage. So even though that thing is like maybe an eighth full, you would still take that out to the garbage?
Yeah, I would say it's more of a quarter full here, but yes, absolutely. Right now, that's how
half full is full.
Yes.
Right?
It's not empty.
No.
If it's, it's not empty.
You know what the nice thing is in Florida? You can pull your landscaping crap out there too. They take everything. You can't do that here.
No.
Yeah.
They have special pickups for that.
Okay.
I've got a whole other issue with that now because we had a vacant lot on our streets, a beautiful wooded lot, and now someone has bought it and they're going to build a house on it. And so now I have to find somewhere else to put my grass clippings.
Wait, you were just dumping it on somebody else's property, Jason?
We call that illegal dumping.
Come on, man.
I mean, we've lived here, this will be 13 years we've lived in this house. No, it's always been empty, so it's a perfect spot, and now someone dared to buy it after
unbelievable.
13 plus years. You're right, it is unbelievable.
The panel,
I can't believe it either.
The panel is telling me that you've never taken trash and thrown it into a dumpster of a house that's being built in the neighborhood?
I do that all the time.
Yeah, they're perfect over there. I mean, we got people that poop in people's yards.
You didn't hear me. Jason, you did not
garbage.
Hear me being critical. You did not hear me being critical of tossing those grass clippings, did ya? Did ya?
I did
just
not.
Just minding my own business over here in Bristol. All right, Jason, let's get to this. Before we ask you about this, I want to get to some sound that I don't think the guys shared with our loyal listeners yesterday, and that is from Mark Murphy reacting to the decision to cut Jaire Alexander. Take a listen.
When you look at the construction of the roster this year, obviously it leaves a hole when you lose a lockdown corner like him. What do you feel about the team's ability to absorb that type of hit?
I feel pretty good. I think Keyshawn Nixon, what a great story. He's undrafted, all-pro returner. And, the reality is for like the last 4 years, Jaire, it's about half of the games he's been able to play. So kind of we've been used to it.
The hell's that mean?
Jason, your reaction to that answer, it feels like he's trying to be complimentary of the guys that remain, and that's where we want to roll this story forward. As far as the guys who remain, corners, safeties, defensive backs as a whole, how confident should Packers fans feel about the talent they have out there without Jaire?
Yeah, first of all, God, I'm going to miss him. I mean, you just never know what he's going to say, right? Like, can you imagine Bob Harlan saying, well, I mean, he missed half the games, so, we're used to it. Like, again, he's got no filter, right? None.
Mm-hmm. No.
Like, you're the president. That's not your role. Anyway, I hope Ed Policy is as loose-lipped as Mark Murphy. I think they have three potentially good players at that position. He's right about this. Mark Murphy's right about this. Keyshawn Nixon is a heck of a story. I mean, he got here. He was a one-year minimum contract deal guy from Vegas. They signed him basically because Rich Bisaccia really liked him. And he has gone from basically being just a special teams guy, not even like a returner when he first got here, but basically a special teams guy to all-pro returner to nickel corner to starting outside corner. And now between him and Hobbs, CB1. So he is a great story. They did pay Hobbs, and they signed him thinking that this was that they weren't going to have Jair Alexander. That's what they thought in March, and that's kind of what they figured all along. And then I really like Carrington Valentine. If I had been Mark Murphy and I was talking somebody up to Dave Schrader from WBAY, I would have brought up Carrington Valentine. I think he could be, you know, part of that long tradition of seventh-round picks who turn out to be really good football players, right? I mean, Rashid Walker is one right now on this roster. Obviously, the knucklehead that I do a radio show with is one of the best that they ever drafted in the seventh round, Donald Driver. I think Carrington Valentine has a chance to be able to be talked about with those names. So I like those three to varying degrees. I don't know enough about Hobbs. Like, he wasn't at the OTA in a personal matter last week. So I've seen him once. I mean, he's wearing Charles Woodson's number. No expectations there. But, like, you know, the guy played 11 games last year. He's not that much more durable at this point based on his track record than Jair is, and he certainly doesn't have the accolades Jair had. So, that, you know, they signed him, they paid him. You know, he got, I think, $16 million guaranteed. But I don't see how good he is right now. I have no idea. So, you know, I appreciate Mark being complimentary, but the fact of the matter is that there are question marks here. And we knew there were going to be question marks. And to me, the biggest question in terms of roster building here is, I think Goody had made up his mind when the season ended. I mean, I think he probably made up his mind before the season ended, right? That they were going to move on from Jair. I mean, I go back to this. I watched you guys talking to Rob yesterday, and he didn't mention this. I still go back to the NFL meetings, and Brian Gutekunst, who never wants to talk about hypotheticals, delivering the hypothetical of, well, if he's not going to be on our team and helping us win games, then we want to get something in return for him because we invested a lot in Jair. That is a hypothetical, if he's not going to be on our team. So I've never heard a GM during my time covering the team since Ron would talk about everything because he was a straight shooter. I've never heard anyone before that talk about the idea of trading someone who is currently on the roster and under contract. And so they obviously knew that this was going to be the end game almost certainly, right? We can all agree on this panel that mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. what they thought.
Yes.
Then to only add Nate Hobbs and Micah Robinson in the seventh round, I'm not going to be flamboyant and say, oh, it's roster building malpractice or anything like that. But you look at their depth chart, and Kalen King and Micah Robinson and some other guys you've never heard of are carrying a lot here in terms of the expectation of them being good enough.
But Jason, are they? Because they're more than willing to drop the safeties that they drafted last year that they trust into the slot as well. So I think the depth there is also being covered by Javon Bullard and Evan Williams.
Right, but I would argue that they got a bunch of slot guys. Right? I mean, Keyshawn Nixon, who has shown he can play outside, has been a slot guy primarily. And when in the first OTA practice, what they did, and it does give them flexibility, but when we saw the number one defense and Hobbs was here, sometimes Hobbs played outside, sometimes Nixon played outside, and then the other one was inside. Great. I'm not talking about if they have those three and Bullard as their fourth, I got no problem with that. But if you think you're going to get through a 17-game NFL season, especially with your bye week after four games, without any of those three missing time, that all three will make all 17 starts or whatever it is, good luck. I hope it works out for you. But they did move on from three corners who, no matter how good, bad, or indifferent you feel about Eric Stokes, Corey Ballantyne, and Robert Rochelle the musical, you knew that those guys had played snaps in your system. And maybe these young guys spring up and play at a high level. But I think we at the same time have to be realistic and say they're going to be playing some really, really good wide receivers up and down their schedule. And we don't know how good Nate Hobbs is. We don't know how durable Nate Hobbs is yet. I still don't know, and I'm a huge Keyshawn Nixon guy. But is he a number one corner in the NFL? I would say his meteoric rise on this team, I wouldn't bet against him. But he hasn't proven that he can be that down in and down out. And then you've got a bunch of seventh-round picks. Harrington Valentine, Kalen King, and now Micah Robinson. So there is a lot to be proven from that entire group. All of them, in some way or another, has something to significantly prove.
Jason, you know Jair. Is he going to try and steer himself to a place to stick it to the Packers, or will it be a money grab for him?
I think his ideal situation, of course, Chewy, would be both, right? Like if Minnesota, if Detroit, if Philly, obviously all of whom are contenders in the NFC and all of whom are on the Packers' schedule, give him good money, I think he's going to be, that's going to appeal to him, because while I don't think he has hard feelings for his teammates or for Jeff Hafley, I do wonder how he feels about how last year was handled in terms of the time he was missing. And you know, it was really Bakhtiari 2.0 in terms of, you know, Matt LaFleur did a better job of not showing off all of his frustration, but not a ton better. And then I do wonder how he feels about how Goody handled the situation too. So I would think that he would love that opportunity. At the same time, you know, he chose not to come back here, even though he has some of his closest friends in the world on the roster, whether it's pride or whether it's how low the number was that they were willing to actually pay him beyond the incentives. He chose not to come back. So I would think that the money will be maybe motivating factor 1A, and the opportunity to face these guys and show them what they missed out on would be goal 1B.
So, Jason, with the money that they save, are they going to do anything with that? Because they've got a boatload of cap space now since they're able to split that cap hit over this year and next.
Yeah. Yeah, my knee-jerk reaction, Gabe, would be to say, well, now they've got all kinds of money that they can pay guys that are all in their final year of their contracts, right? I mean, it's three guys on the offensive line. There's two wide receivers. There's guys on defense. But, again, every time I think about them signing a guy to an extension, I hear little Goody on my shoulder with that 1.6 number that he said, that's the number of guys that teams sign to a second contract out of their draft classes. And for him, there's a number of drafts that he only signed one or none. You know, 2020 and 2021, it's Love and it's Isaiah McDuffie. So I don't even know if they want to use that money for that. I don't think that they're... I will be very surprised if they are marshaling their resources to pay a Trey Hendrickson. I don't see them in the Jalen Ramsey conversation. I mean, that you're just basically trading one, you know, kind of high maintenance corner for another, right? If you do that. So I don't know.
And older.
I don't think, great point. So I just don't think that money's burning a hole in Goody and Russ Ball's pocket. You know, maybe it goes to a Zach Tom extension that they can front load a little bit. Maybe it goes to an extension. I mean, I don't even know, because I don't believe that they're going to extend Romeo. So
no.
I would think that they're just going to, you know, put it in the bank and let it sit there. I think that's probably the most likely scenario.
And Jason, I don't disagree with you at all. I think that is the most likely road that the Green Bay Packers take. But I can't help but think about Brian Gutekunst tweeting about urgency. And I don't mean tweeting like literally on the app, but like earlier this year talking about urgency. And every time every time something like this comes up, I'm wondering how he can reconcile these two things. Now you have all this money that you freed up from cutting Jaire Alexander. You have talked about urgency. Shouldn't the urgent mind take some of that money and invest it, reinvest it in the roster somewhere?
Yeah. Jen, he showed total urgency. He signed a guard and a nickel. And that's urgency, man. I mean, look, I couldn't agree with you more. I just, it's a little late to be going on a spending spree, though, right? Like, this is the time of year that you get Devondre Campbell and you hope that he becomes a first-team All-Pro like he did a few years ago before becoming a malcontent and then quitting on the 49ers. It's kind of like having all this money and having nowhere to spend it. Like, I don't know where you spend it if it's not on a trade. Because Trey Hendrickson, if you trade for him, you're giving up a pick and you have to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of him being in the position he's in. I don't see Goody doing that since he already celebrated his 30th birthday. So I agree with you about the urgency thing. We were talking about it yesterday, and then I think illegally used a version of Smokey the Bear for a graphic. So I don't know what urgency is for him if we're just going to give him credit for Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs. I think he believes, and I don't want to speak for him, I think he believes all these guys that are facing pivotal seasons in their development and have to come to maturity, starting with the quarterback and then going through all those offensive linemen and guys on defense, all these third and fourth year players, I think he's banking on them all feeling that urgency and playing at the level that we've seen flashes of them playing at, and that that's going to be enough to get them to be a Super Bowl contender. And if he's right, it's going to be a hell of a story. If he's wrong, they're going to be the sixth or the seventh seed again, and they're going to punch out before the NFC Championship game, and we're going to be talking about, some urgency is showed there.
That's like me believing that every one of my tickets at Pottawatomie Sportsbook is going to hit, Jason. I know there's a few that aren't going to, okay? I'm just hoping that more hit than don't hit. So this idea of every one of these guys will elevate their performance this year feels like a fool's errand to me.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, if we use that analogy, maybe you've got one that hits big, right? Like, and is enough to really pad your bank account. And some of the other ones that you miss on, yeah, you were close, and, you know, they got your hopes up a little bit, and there were some good moments where that bet looked like it was going to pay off, and then it doesn't hit, but at least there was, you know, some good, I can't believe the Pacers are in the finals, even if they don't win it, right? So I am eager to see, but, you know, we're talking about Reed and Wicks. We're talking about those offensive linemen playing at a high level. We're talking about some guys on defense. I mean, Gabe mentioned the two safeties. I mean, they need Javon Bullard and Evan Williams to be durable and productive. That would help their defense immensely. So those are all guys they're counting on. Obviously, Romeo Doubs, if he can be really productive and come to work every day, that would be helpful. So there's a lot on the table here, but they are clearly largely counting on improvement from within and significant improvement in year three and year four from a lot of players.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
You can hear Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I mentioned my friends over at Pottawatomie. Set sail this June for a boundless bounty at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It's a treasure worth $300,000 in cash and prizes. How do you win? Well, you just got to play your favorite slots. 40 winners each Thursday. The $300,000 Boundless Bounty happens this June. Do not miss it. If you want more information, you can go to Potawatomi.com. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
On 94.5 ESPN.